Hey, I'm Rachel.
I'm Savannah.
And this is That's What She Said. About 10 seconds into season 2, episode 3, Office Olympics, Michael explains the duality of his personality.
I'm an early bird, and I am a night owl. So, I'm wise, and I have worms. Okay, and we're back. I'm sitting across from someone I do not recognize.
Wow.
You've been gone too long.
Am I that tan? I was in Florida for a whole week doing various family activities. We had a wedding. We had a 90th birthday. So, yeah, I'm very happy to be back.
And good timing because the winter weather has been slamming. Yeah. Here in Virginia, like
I heard Richmond a few times when we were away, people were like, "Oh, there's rain or snow," and I was like, "I'm at the beach. It's set sunny and 80.
Yes, and the water is clear.
The water is clear.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, so that's probably my Dundee. I had a really good time in Florida. Lots of good family time, lots of babies, right? Like all the fun.
I know you love them babies.
Yes. I came back, I was still doing like baby talk with Willow, you know? I'm like,
Willow is her dog, not a human.
Yeah, she's not a human. She thinks she is. Yeah.
She probably was in a past life.
She definitely gives a lot of side eye for not a human.
She's very tooty.
She's expressive.
Like, you can tell what she's thinking.
Yeah. Yep.
Love her.
Shout out, Willow.
Shout out. Do you have any roasts? From your travels or from and just in general, from living?
From living? I don't think you want to hear my roast from living in the past few weeks.
Fair.
But, okay, so I do have one, and it's that I was really into a book, and I finished it. So the roast is that I finished it because the book is amazing. It's called The Priory of the Orange Tree.
Sorry, what was that first?
Priory.
Priory?
Like a...
I'm learning new words today.
Is it like a nunnery? Like, now I'm going to look it up. Like a...
Like an abbey. How do you solve a problem religious, like Maria?
Yeah, just like that. A religious house under a prior or a prioress.
What is a prior? Like a priest? So it's called Priory of the...
Orange Tree.
Okay.
Now I'm like, am I using that wrong?
Is it about Florida?
No. Okay. No.
Actually, the Orange Tree is throwing me off.
It has nothing to do with Florida, but that's a great question. It's by Samantha Shannon. Dystopian fantasy fiction.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And yeah, dragons and it's like a feminist
fantasy.
Game of Thrones-esque thing.
Fun.
So it was very well written, very well done. And it's huge and I just finished it.
Nice.
So I'm like, what do I do now?
Finishing a big book is so double-sided because you're happy that you finished it. For me, it takes me forever. It took me 3 years to read the Harry Potter books, for example. But when you're done, you're like...
The story is over.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So it is sad, but at the same time, you're happy. So I get that. Is it like a series or is it just a single book?
I think there might be a... I can't remember. There's like one other. Like a prequel, but it's not like a whole series, which I kind of like. I think the storytelling is really well done. So yeah, anyway, highly recommend. Maybe I have a copy. I'll bring it for you if you're interested.
Perfect.
It is a big book, but... The storytelling is so good, so you're just, like, way into it.
You'll probably get it back when you're 40, because it's going to take me a while to read it, so.
It's going to take us a while to record the podcast, so.
True. That's true.
Catch me up on you.
Yeah. So, I don't think I have any roasts aside from the weather, but I feel like I'm always saying that. I am a hot-natured person, but I don't like the cold, ironically. So, that's always going to be a roast for me during this winter, this long winter we're experiencing, but... a Dundee is that recently I went down to North Carolina to the Outer Banks, which is like, if you know me, it's like my favorite place ever.
It's beautiful there.
Yes. My familial roots run deep there. So I just love going there. It feels like my motherland. Like when I'm there, I'm like, I'm supposed to be here. So I went there with my mom for a Bronco off-roading beach drive event.
Ooh.
Yes. My mom has a Bronco. And yes, she is that bitch.
Allison.
And it's amazing. Her license plate, she just got a new license plate for it. It says Sea Pony, which is amazing. It's the Outer Banks version of the Bronco, so that's very fitting. That. But we went, we met some people. It was like 60 people that own Broncos. There's like tons of Broncos. They met at this barbecue place in Manio, if anyone's familiar with the Outer Banks. Manio. And then we drove. We all drove. We had like a police escort to Corrala, which is where you get onto the beach. And we drove down the beach and like lined them all up and like took pictures and stuff. It was really freaking cold. I didn't like that. But it was so fun.
Is this a thing that happens like every year?
So this is something my mom recently discovered from her bank teller. She drove through the drive-through in her Bronco, and the bank teller was like, oh my god, you own a Bronco, I own a Bronco, we're part of this Bronco club. It's called NC Bronco Club. There's a sticker up there, you can see NC Bronco. So shout out to them. But so she told my mom about it, and then my mom and I do everything together, so I was like, I'll go with you. So it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
It was so fun.
What a weird, special experience.
I know. Traditionally, I am a Jeep girl. My first car was an 89 Jeep Wrangler, but I'm slowly being converted into a Bronco person.
Well, because the cult do that.
It really do be like that. But it was a lot of fun. So that was just great because I haven't been to the beach in so long. Obviously, it's winter. I didn't really get to go very many times last year. Usually I go a few times every summer. So going back to the Outer Banks is always a good time for me, no matter what time of year it is. So
I'm glad you got to do that.
A huge Dundee for me. Yeah.
Nice. Shall we get into Office Olympics of it all?
We're chatty today. We've been separated for a long time.
Yes.
It's beater bear time.
I was going to ask if you're ready, but you are.
Ready. Are you ready to rumble?
Okay, Savannah. Number one, Ryan coming in early to give Michael his breakfast.
I'm going to say bear because I think Ryan was truly heartbroken when he found out that he only came in early for the breakfast for Michael.
Yeah, he was tricked.
Severely so, yes.
How about Jim and Pam's prank on Dwight in this episode where they find his wallet in the parking lot?
I am going to say beat for this, for Pam's execution of it, even though she is climbing my shit list as of late. But her execution of this prank was phenomenal, so I'm going to say beat for that.
Yeah, agreed. That's a good one. How about Michael's famous condo, which we see for the first time in this episode?
Memories. Yeah, so I'm going to give that a beat. And also, it's very sizable. Like, it's a very nice condo, so it gets a beat.
Is it three bedroom, three bathroom?
Three bed.
At least three bedroom. That's all I know.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Two microwaves.
Two microwaves. I mean, you can't beat that in this economy.
You can't. You really can't.
Beat or bear? Kevin's expense reports.
I'm going to say beat. I feel like I'm giving like everything a beat, but I'm going to say beat because he tries. I don't know if I should get into it, but he's trying to expense things that do not relate to work. And I kind of love that he's doing that.
It's admirable.
It is. It really is. So it gets a beat from me.
Okay. Last but not least, the Office Olympics.
Office Olympics. You know, I think I'm going to have to give it a bear.
Ah, okay. Care to elaborate a little bit?
Only because so much time was wasted.
Okay, yep.
And it makes me angry for Michael, even though I don't think he knows exactly how much time was wasted or cares because he's too worried about his condo. But yeah, I'm going to give it a bear.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so let's get into the plot points of this episode.
Let's do it. Okay, so we're going to get into the plot points and the episode recap for this one.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are you an early bird or a night owl?
I'll just say this. I am wise and I have worms. If that answers your question.
It doesn't.
So this episode opens up early in the morning. at the office, and Michael is there, and he talks about how he is an early bird and also a night owl. So he's wise, and he has worms.
Of course.
And he's there in the office, and Ryan is there with him.
Ryan comes in.
For a reason. Michael asked him to come in for a reason, super early. Why?
Well, Ryan thinks it's for some really important office task, mm-hmm. but he comes to learn it's just so Michael could have a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit.
And he ends up taking the biscuit off and just eats the meat and the egg. And he's like, healthier. And Ryan's like, are you fucking kidding me? And so then basically Ryan's like, well, what am I supposed to do for 2 hours until work starts? And Michael was like, the office is your oyster or whatever. Like, you can do whatever you want. And he's like, risky business, you know? Home alone? You got
take
the house
your
to yourself?
Pants off.
Yeah. And Ryan's like, I'm just going to sleep in my car until work starts. I would be so mad if I got ready for work and then I just had to bring my boss breakfast, but I didn't know it until I got there.
Yeah, it's so manipulative.
I'd be like, I will DoorDash you something. I'm not getting out of bed for this.
I'll pay the $7 delivery fee not to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a rough cold open. But then we get into the meat of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So this episode is all about Michael Scott finally becoming a homeowner.
Yes, this is exciting for him.
It is, because he is finally investing in real estate, making a name for himself.
Yes.
And as he's telling the cameras about this exciting new venture in his life, Dwight, his number two, is there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwight has a lot of questions. He really wants to help Michael with this journey.
He really does. And he's very excited about this because he wants to feel included, of course.
Of course.
As he does. And he's asking questions. Michael's talking to him about the specs of the condo. And Dwight is like, does it have a deck? And Michael's like, I think it does. And Dwight's like, have you even seen it yet?
It's pretty obvious that while Michael's excited, he doesn't have a great grasp on the home buying process. I guess nobody does. Michael Scott is everybody when they're buying a home. Like every person.
Maybe every 20 something. He's
person.
Like 40.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So he's doing this a little later in life. He's going to leave work to take a personal day.
Mm-hmm.
Personal day.
Yeah. Well, he's going to do this. He's telling Dwight he's going to look at the condo and close on it. And Dwight's like, so you're taking a personal day.
And he said, but it's my living situation as a boss.
Right.
So he doesn't have to take a personal day.
Right. Exactly. So Dwight goes with him. And Dwight has a talking head where he's comparing like him and Michael to Mozart and Mozart's friend or something.
No, wait.
I think he says Michael is Mozart and Dwight is Mozart's friend or something.
Doesn't he say something about Butch Cassidy? He's like, if you mess with Mozart, you get a bullet in the head courtesy of Butch Cassidy. He's just trying to make all these connections between him and Michael.
Yeah, of course, because he wants to be the dynamic duo, him and Michael. But as they're on their way out, Michael checks in with Pam, and he's asking her if she switched over all his, like, magazine subscriptions from
his
old address.
You have to list some of them.
We need to talk about this. So he's got Maxim,
mm-hmm.
Cracked.
Mm.
Small Businessman.
Of course.
American Way and Fine Arts Aficionado Monthly. I don't just read Cracked. So she says, yes, Michael, I changed all of the, you know, subscription addresses.
Magazine subscription.
To your new address. So once they get that squared away, they go head out into the car and they're in the company Chrysler. Yeah. Dwight wants to put the top down. And Michael's like, it's 50 degrees out.
Well, Dwight is like a kid in a candy shop anytime he's with Michael. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he feels like the coolest kid in school riding around with like his bestie in a convertible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's got these cool glasses and he's like,
Terminator.
We have to put the top down or else people won't see us.
It's basically like two, I don't know, nerdy 15-year-olds going out to buy a condo.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
So once they arrive, it appears that Michael doesn't even know which condo is his. Because he's like looking at it and he's like, that's it. That's the one. One day my grandkids are going to take their first steps in there. And then he turns around and he's like, Oh, wait, I think it's that one.
And they're all cookie cutter condo complex. So they all look the same.
Yes. And then Dwight is like, of course, wondering what the crime rates are and if there's prostitution and crack sales going on, like all this other stuff. He's like trying to do research and saying how there's been reported crimes of loitering, noise complaints, and several speeding tickets in the area.
They also interview a neighbor.
They do. They do. This neighbor is a yarn salesman. He's home on his lunch break.
What is that? What is a yarn salesman?
He sells yarn. What do you mean?
Like, I don't know.
Like, maybe at a distributor.
Like, he stands there and pushes yarn to...
No, I think what it is he probably sits in a cubicle and calls, like, Michaels and be like, how much yarn do you need? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how Dunder Mifflin, like, supplies other companies.
Oh, he's like, I see. Okay. All right, continue. So, this yarn salesman is home for work. He's home for lunch.
Yep, eating a Hot Pocket.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And Dwight and Michael are telling him how this is going to be party central.
Oh, yeah. And they're, like, asking what's the vibe. And the neighbor's like, well, there is, like, an 11 o'clock noise curfew.
Yeah, because it's like a family condo complex.
Yes, and then Dwight, this is when Dwight interrogates the neighbor, like, is there any crack dealing, prostitution, or gang violence in the area? And the guy's just, like, deadpanning the camera, like, what the fuck is happening here?
So already making a splash with the neighbors. And then Michael and Dwight enter the condo with the realtor, Carol, Michael's realtor. Yes. And so we get a little tour.
We do. There's two microwaves. So you can have popcorn and hot chocolate at the same time.
Wow. Whoa, living the life.
It's very spacious, actually. It's got 3 bedrooms. Mm-hmm. It's 2 stories.
Sometimes the walls are a little thin, as Dwight points out.
Yeah, his neighbor, Michael's new neighbor, that he shares a wall with, plays the cello.
Yeah, and Dwight is very concerned about the thinness of the walls. So, little backstory here. We do learn that Dwight owns property. Mm-hmm. He owns a beet farm.
It's like 60 acres or something crazy.
So, he sells beets to local businesses.
Uh-huh.
And
teenagers use it for sex.
They do. So, I think this is a little bit of why Dwight seems to be... Or he's pretending to be an expert on property.
Right.
Because he has experience with this.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
However,
does he?
Does he really? Because I'm pretty sure that was handed down to him. It's not like he bought it, you know?
Yeah, and he owns it with, like, his cousin or brother
and his
or
granny or whatever. And it's, like, 9 bedrooms, but 1 bathroom. But I'm pretty sure it's an outhouse.
Under the porch.
Yeah.
So, very different with Michael's condo.
So, from Carol... And Carol brought someone else with her.
Oh, the head of the condo association.
Right.
Bill! Mr. Bill!
Yeah.
And they pull him apart. So Michael's referencing this old SNL sketch, and they're all, the Carol and Bill are like, okay. They have no idea what he's talking about.
What the hell? But we find out from Carol and Bill that the neighborhood is very gay friendly.
I think they think Dwight and Michael are a couple.
Yeah, that, and also at this moment, Dwight is like, want to go check out the master bedroom, Michael? And it's just like, Michael's like, come on. And then he starts, like, I think kind of freaking out, you know, a little bit internally. You can see the wheels turning, and he's like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
As Dwight is hating on the thin walls.
Yes.
He's like, hey, look, carpenter ants.
And then Michael's, like, leaning on the stove, and it's a gas stove, so it has, like, the grates over it. And he, like nudges it, and it moves, and he's like, is that supposed to come off? God, this is just not right. This doesn't feel right.
So I really like this, though, because you see the Michael and Dwight in the office dynamic, like, that weird thing they have going on in the real world.
Yeah.
Like, Carol and Bill are like, are they a couple?
Like, what is going on here?
Yeah. So it's very funny to me that, and you see Michael's down spiral of like, can I afford this?
Yeah.
Like, it was this a bad idea? The walls are thin.
Where
blah,
are
blah,
all
blah.
The hot people? I'm the hottest one here. I was told there would be hot singles.
Dwight says it's a death sentence to sign a 30-year mortgage at Michael's age.
And he said, if it was me, I would get a coffin with thicker walls so I wouldn't hear all the other dead people.
It's like the worst person to bring with you when walking through the house.
Because you know he's going to find everything wrong with it or make up stuff that is wrong with it.
So when it comes to the signing, tell me about how that goes with Carol. So they're ready. They're sitting in the kitchen or whatever.
She's got the paperwork.
They've done the walkthrough.
Yeah. So he's like freaking out because there's no hot singles and he has carpenter ants. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to back out. And she's like, if you back out, you will lose $7,000 right now. And so then he ends up signing it.
Yep.
And kind of the whole condo scene closes with Michael and Dwight eating subs on the like floor of the master bedroom, and he's like, this was a good idea, I'm a homeowner, this feels good, this was the right choice.
He's so irresponsible.
Yes.
Like, he just can't be a functional human.
No. And then so then they're talking, him and Dwight are talking about like how much it's gonna be, you know, his mortgage and stuff per month. And Dwight's like, maybe you could get a roommate or whatever, or when you get old the nurse can live in here. And so then Michael comes up with an idea to like offer Dwight, you know, a bedroom
and pay him rent.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, guess what? I'm going to offer you a bedroom and you can pay me rent. And he's like all excited about it. And Dwight is kind of like hesitant because he's got a 9-bedroom farmhouse.
Well, it's only until Michael gets a girlfriend, because then Dwight's got to get out.
Exactly. Exactly. And so then Dwight ends up asking a ton of questions, like, I have a large collection of armoires and I have a terrarium. And he's like, what the hell is a terrarium? And Dwight just keeps asking all these questions about like when and if he moves in. And Michael's like, game over. He's like fed up with it. So then that's called off. Dwight's not going to be his roommate anymore.
Can you imagine if Dwight actually lived with Michael? I would watch the spinoff.
That would be chaotic.
We just saw 10 minutes of them in the real world, and it was like more cringy than anything we've seen in the office.
I feel like Dwight would turn his bedroom into an office or a workspace. Like, I feel like their dynamic, it would be just like they're in the office,
just
you
like
know?
The office.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine them like cooking breakfast together.
No, because Dwight probably would be making like beat something, and Michael would be like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
It just wouldn't be good.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's nice that they ended up not living together, but that's
a cute
little thing. And then also, how is Michael going to afford this condo? Because it genuinely seems like he can't.
It does. And also, I want to know what his current living situation is, which I don't think we ever find out, you know, before right. he moves into the condo.
Yeah, I guess he's just renting an apartment or something smaller.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, how is he going to afford that? Because I'm pretty sure doesn't, like, Daryl make more than him?
Yeah. Well, and he just, this is an important one. This is the first moment where you start to, like, worry about Michael Scott a little
bit.
Because you see that he wants, right? He wants a family. He wants a partner.
Mm-hmm.
He wants a little bit more of the traditional lifestyle he, you know, at 40 or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're, like, a little worried about him actually getting it because of his incompetence.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is, even if Dwight was to move in with him, I don't know that Dwight could even afford it because he just canceled all his credit cards thanks to Jim and Pam pranking him earlier in the episode.
That's a great point.
Cancel card.
I don't know. I think Dwight could sell beats and get it back, though.
That is true.
He's got some good
I think
beats.
He's the beat plug of Scranton, so.
The beat plug of Scranton. You heard it here first, kids.
So while Michael and Dwight are away out of the office,
the mice
this
play.
Has been taken most.
Isn't that a saying? Like,
when the cat is away, the mice will play. Yeah. That is right. So they've been gone like most of the day. So then we end up finding out what happens in the office while they're gone. The day starts out with everyone working on expense reports.
Whew.
Super boring. We find out that Kevin tried to charge Mermaids and Stripes, which are movies, to his expense report, like to try to get them, you know, reimbursed.
I forgot about that.
But you rented Mermaids. This is not a business expense.
He tries to expense Mermaids.
Yeah.
That's a great character trait for Kevin.
I agree. I'm surprised it wasn't for a bunch of food, though. I'm just saying. So we find out that that's going on. Everyone's working on these reports. Jim, of course,
dies of boredom.
So he is going around the office asking people what they do when Michael's gone, as far as like playing games and shit.
Well, Pam tries to help him with that too. Mm-hmm. It's always Jim and Pam.
That is true.
And Pam's like, it's my job to revive Jim when he dies of boredom.
He like shuts down like a robot, and she has to like wind him back up.
Exactly.
Which I'm like, what? Huh?
So she starts throwing stuff into Dwight's coffee mug on his desk, and then that starts the
Jim
spark.
Asking around while everyone's doing their expense reports. So we find out that Kevin and Oscar play like a paper football game in accounting, and it goes back like 2 years. They have like a scoreboard that
goes
back 2 years. Yeah.
So I guess it's anytime Michael's out of the office or when they're bored. Mm-hmm. But as Kevin says, they seem to get bored a lot.
Yeah.
Because there's a big scoreboard.
2 years. It goes back 2 years. So then we find out that Toby and Kelly actually play a game together as well.
In the annex.
Which, let's remember that Kelly thinks Toby is really cute, except for that stupid kid. But I think they're actually pretty good friends.
Yeah, you know? They're the only two back there in the, like, human services side of the business. Mm-hmm. So it does seem like they're decent.
Pretty close. Yeah. So Jim goes back to the annex and finds out that they played dunderball, is what they call it. And it's just, like, a little rubber ball, maybe a stress ball or something, that they bounce against the wall into each other's, like, cubicles, basically.
That one sounds fun, I think.
I agree. It's funny, though, because Jim was like, oh, so that's what this noise is all day. I'm like, no one ever investigated that.
No, nobody cares. Do your work. Don't do your work. Go buy a condo in the middle of the day.
Literally. So we have Dunderball, and then Oscar and Kevin called their game Hate Ball because Angela hates it.
That's a good one, too, because that shows Angela's.
She's a real bitch in this episode.
She is. And this starts her demise into that character, I guess, a rise, depending on how you look at
her. Evil.
She's, like, so negative.
Villain origin story.
Exactly. Hate ball.
So then Jim asks Phyllis and Stanley what games they play. Phyllis says she doesn't play any games while Michael's gone, but Stanley, he has a game. What is it called?
It's called Work Hard So My Kids Can Go to College.
Which is, like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
You're at work.
Stanley's so responsible in this moment.
Yeah, definitely. So Jim gets a great idea from all of this to create. What the hell is that? Those are the doves. So he gets a great idea to start something called the Office Olympics. And when these games are starting, Angela has a talking head where she's like, I play games, I sing, and I dingle things in front of my cats. I play lots of games, just not at work. So she's, of course, being her usual
wet blanket
tight ass self. Yeah. So then we get into the games. This is when they start, and Michael is still away at this point. So the episode kind of ping pongs back and forth between the office and Michael's condo. But at this point, you know, at the office, Michael is still gone, so they're unsupervised.
So we're starting the Office Olympics, baby.
Oh, yeah. With this candle.
So there's an opening ceremony in the break room.
Uh-huh.
We have yogurt lids as bronze, silver, and gold.
Yeah.
But the bronze are really blue.
So no cheating.
No cheating, because if you flip them over, they could be gold.
Yeah.
Right? So Pam made all these medals. We light a candle. Mm-hmm. We sing a little song. We got a banner. Mm-hmm. Okay. First round, first sport. What is it?
It is the national sport of Icelandic paper companies, which is called Flonkerton.
Or?
Box of paper snowshoe racing?
Yes.
So Phyllis and Kevin? Well, Phyllis definitely does Flonkerton. She wins it, actually.
I think it's
by
Kevin.
By a nose. Yeah. Her and Kevin. So they have to slip their feet into these, like, boxes of paper that have, like, the...
A strap over them?
Yeah. Which seems, like, really painful to me, personally, because I feel like the straps are really tight. And that paper is heavy. It's like a whole, like, ream of paper, I think, in that box, right?
Do you know how much a ream is? I think it's... Oh, no. 52? Wait.
I thought it was like hundreds of sheets.
How much?
Hold, please, everyone. We're going to find out how much a ream of paper is. 500?
one ream of paper is 500 sheets.
Fuck yeah.
Formerly 480 sheets.
So 500.
500.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's heavy. Yeah. I mean, they can't, they're not picking their shoe, or like their foot up.
Right. They're like dragging them, and there's one on each foot. They're dragging the boxes across the floor.
It seems dangerous. But anyway, Phyllis wins by a nose.
By a nose. She does win, so she gets a medal for that. During the games, Pam has a talking head. Of course, she's gushing about Pim. Gushing about Jim being passionate.
It could be Pim. It could be the couple name.
Exactly. Or Jam. But she's saying how Jim is so passionate and all this stuff. But she's like, unfortunately, he works here. So.
Yeah.
But just another moment of her, like, kind of gushing over him. Because that is still ongoing.
Yeah. And she's noticing how his potential is maybe being wasted, and mm-hmm. I think that's a big admiring thing to say about someone, that they have like a lot of potential,
for sure.
Like, you're definitely watching and noticing them a lot.
Yeah, most definitely. So the next game is a one competitor game. It is the how many M&Ms can you fit in your mouth game, which just, is what Kevin came up with.
Just Kevin plays it.
And no one else needs to even try, because Kevin is the winner. He's, like, sweating, trying to, like, fit the whole jar of M&Ms
everyone
in his mouth.
Everyone just stands around his desk as he, like, shotguns these M&Ms into the back of his throat. I don't know how they got... I mean, they're, like, falling out of his mouth. I don't know how they got through that.
Oh, my God. And Jim's like, no one else should even try.
So, now... The games are ongoing, right? There's mm-hmm. things happening. Everyone in the office is now involved. Stanley's gotten up from his desk, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a little scene of Angela talking to Pam.
Being a bitch, of course.
Where Pam is like, come on. Like, come join us. Don't you have any games? Mm. And Angela says, I do have a game. It's called Pam Pong. I count how many times Jim gets up from his desk to go talk to you.
Which I'm like, fair. If I, that, like, that part of Angela, like, resides within me. Because if it was
honest,
me, yeah, if yeah, exactly. Especially after she kissed him at Chili's, like, right. All this other stuff has been happening. And she's still freaking engaged to Roy. Like, I would also be, like...
snide about it.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
So Pam and Jim are kind of the center of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the last game we see... is the running around the office obstacle course with full coffee mugs.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's a fun one.
Who's doing it? Toby? Oscar, maybe?
Oscar, definitely, I think.
Yeah. And so Jim's, like, timing them, mm-hmm. right? And they're trying not to spill this coffee. And then Michael and Dwight come in the door.
And suddenly everyone, it's like they've short-circuited and... I don't know.
It's like Severance, where they, like, switch their switch.
Yes.
And they're workers again.
Yes, exactly.
So they immediately, the people, like, running around with the coffee, like, nonchalantly turn around and, like, sip their coffee. Everyone disperses.
It's
right?
Crazy.
Like, caught red-handed. And Dwight's, like, you know, coming in. He's like, what are we doing here?
And Jim's like, come on, guys. Like, he's, like, confused and disappointed.
Yeah. So he's all bored again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could understand that, because... there is a talking head where Jim says, yeah, I finished my expense reports and I closed 2 sales at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing his work just efficiently and making time for fun, which I just think is crafty. Good for him.
It is crafty, but also Pam, she's not as good at maybe productivity while also being fun. Because mm-hmm. you know what? She used automatic voicemail and she had 59 voicemails while she was... making a banner and some doves and yogurt lid medals.
Right. Right. So it's kind of sad that they're now going back to reality because Michael's back.
Yeah.
Ryan throws away his medal right in front of
Pam. Right in front of Pam. It's and he was like, what would I have done with it? Which I also feel the same.
But you didn't have to throw it out in front of her.
Yeah, that, like, was kind of
she put
a
some
dick
time
move.
Into that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then Meredith walks by Jim and she's saying, I'm sorry we didn't get to do the closing ceremonies, da 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 da. So then Jim gets a good idea of, like, doing the closing ceremonies, and he tells Pam that they should and everything. And they end up including Michael.
They do. So even though Michael was out of the office all day and is very unaware of what went on, Michael gets included in the closing ceremonies. So Jim starts this by calling Michael out into, he says, hey, can you come out here for a second? The whole office is gathered.
Yeah.
And he says, gold medal goes to Michael because he closed on his condo today.
That's right. That's right. And they start playing the national anthem.
And Michael is very confused.
He's like, why are you playing the national anthem? It was because your condo is in America. And Dwight is also standing next to Michael, I think, with a silver medal. And he's like very stoic looking, very serious.
They're very confused. They don't know why they're getting medals.
But they feel good about it.
But they like it. So that's really cute because everyone gets a little piece of victory that day. Mm-hmm. And as they're playing the national anthem, Pam starts stringing up these white paper doves behind them. And Michael's like, what the hell is that? And Jim says, oh, those are the doves. And Michael just accepts it.
He's like, okay.
Which I kind of love about that. It's like he starts tearing up a little and he knows he needed a win. He was feeling a little overwhelmed about the condo, maybe a little sad about his single status in life, right? So this gives him a sense of accomplishment and closure, validation in front of his employees.
Definitely, definitely. So that scene ends with Michael literally crying on the stage. He's feeling good, feeling sentimental maybe. And then the last scene of this episode is Dwight at his desk. He's going to take a sip of coffee or something out of his mug, and he finds pieces of paper in it. And he's, like, looking around, like, did someone just try to poison me or something?
It's the origin of the Office Olympics. It is. Shroot ball.
Shroot ball is what Pam likes to call
it. Or skeet shrooting.
Skeet shrooting. I like that one.
Where she throws stuff into Dwight's mug.
From her desk, which is pretty impressive, actually, because it's kind of far away.
Honestly. And it's so sweet. Honestly, that sort of started the Office Olympics, and then it ends still as it's always Pam and Jim against Dwight.
Yeah,
so it just starts with those innocent little pranks, and they turned it into like this big office wide like morale booster.
Yeah, I do kind of love that, but so that's where the episode ends.
That's it for the Office Olympics, and honestly, this is the first and only instance, right?
Of the Office Olympics? Yeah. I don't think they do it again. Or at least it's not shown, you know?
I kind of wish it was a regular thing.
A regular, like, annual, like the Dundies. Like an annual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And give me some different games. Give me some different, like, personality traits to make fun of. Mm-hmm. Like, that seems like it could have gone far, but that's where we are. First and only Office Olympics.
Yes. So that was a good one. So we'll jump into our cold walk and closing and trivia and all that. Okay, so it is time for some trivia on this episode. Do you want to kick us off?
I do. We're both so excited about this episode, we keep interrupting each other. So the first piece of trivia I had is in the closing ceremonies, how they set up the podium. They have the second place to the left of the gold medal.
First place, yeah.
Right. But it's traditionally the other way around where the second place is on the right
side.
Yeah.
And third place is on the other side, yeah.
Yeah. So that's an interesting setup. Like maybe no one's seen the Olympics.
I was going to say, did they not do research on that or did they just not care? I don't know.
Maybe they just didn't care.
Considering the medals were yogurt lids, they probably didn't really care that much.
The medal placement went to the wayside.
Yes. Okay, my first trivia point is that the actress who plays Michael's realtor, Carol
Stills.
Yes, is Steve Carell's wife in real life. And I find that interesting. I always love when there's like real life aspects of the actors like put into the show. And I also love that they end up dating later on. Might be a spoiler, but
I love that too. I think they started out on The Daily Show together.
And that's where they met.
Like they met in, So
that's
it's
so cute.
It's kind of nice. Yeah. Aww. They have 3 kids now or something too.
Wow.
Or I don't know. Something. 3? 2? They have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Love it. Michael Scott found his...
his love.
Catherine Zeta-Jones. Michael Scar.
Michael Scar.
So the condo that they used in this episode is the condo that they use for the rest of the series. So...
right.
If you see this condo again, it is the same model. Uh-huh. It's not a different model. Uh-huh. The ceilings are the same height.
Right. And I feel like because it's empty in this episode, you can't really... you don't really realize it at first that it's like the same mm-hmm. condo as like dinner party and all the other things that we see in it. So, yeah, knowing that and watching this back, I'm like, there's some good memories that are going to happen in there.
That is his home.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. So this episode has the first appearance of Mose. He's in a photograph with Dwight while talking about
Mose.
Yes. Dwight is talking about his 60-acre beet farm that he lives on and operates with his cousin Mose. And he shows the camera a picture of them, and Dwight is wearing a blue ribbon on his chest and looking so proud. And also the actor that plays Mose is a writer and a producer on this show, and he also helped write this episode as well that he debuted in, his character debuted in.
Michael Schur?
Yes, yes.
S-C-H-U-R.
Michael Schur.
He also does, he later does, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Parks and Rec. He does all those shows.
Similar comedy shows, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Mose is, like, my favorite character.
He's the best.
It's the weirdest. Joe always points out, he's like, that's, like, the weirdest one.
Like, exactly. That's why I like him.
Mose and Creed, yeah.
Yes.
So when Dwight and Michael drive to the condo originally, the clock in the car says 11:11. It's, like, a digital clock. But then when they drive back, it says 10:20. So it's either nighttime, which it's not. It should be between like 12 and 5 because everyone's still in the office.
So I guess they clearly recorded the second part first, I guess.
Perhaps. Yeah. Or different day. I don't know.
Yeah, true. But 11:11, angel number.
Angel number.
So during the closing ceremonies for the Office Olympics, they're playing the national anthem, and Kevin places his left hand over his heart during this. Not his right hand.
That is a funny one, because I noticed that everyone else looks the same.
Mm-hmm. Except for Kevin.
Do you think he did it in character? Like,
for
on purpose?
Sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
That's a great one.
Totally on brand for him.
Okay. This one's a little silly, but I have one more trivia about the car.
Okay. Let's hear it.
You know when Dwight wants to put down the sunroof or the convertible, because he's like, I want everyone to see us. Michael's like, it's 50 degrees outside or whatever, but you can tell on the car dash that it's in fact like 75 degrees.
Ooh, probably because they're filming in California.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's just
I love that little tidbit.
Yeah.
Speaking of the car, during the car scene on the way to the condo, the cameraman accidentally broke the car's back window.
Oh.
Right. I'm also wondering how that went down on set. Like, what did they do about that?
Yeah, that's like broken glass.
I have one more if you don't have any more.
Go for it.
Okay. So Greg Daniels, who's a producer of the show, portrays Michael's neighbor that he meets when he's there with Dwight.
In his
condo.
The yarn salesman.
Yeah, the yarn salesman.
The yarn salesman.
Who's home eating a Hot Pocket on his lunch break.
So he also did Parks and Rec.
Nice.
And The Simpsons, which we know from the little Homer Simpson doll.
Yeah.
That's great.
I love that.
All right. Cool. I think we got plenty of trivia in there. So let's move on to our Cole Walks and Dundies.
Let's do it. Okay. We're throwing some flame on the coals, and you know what time it is. It's the Cole Walk segment.
Light up the tiki torches.
Do not crawl in the coals. That's the one rule. So I'm going to kick it off with my Cole Walk for you.
Please.
So my Cole Walk is that it took literally all day to prepare for the Olympic Games, and so much work was ignored that Pam had 59 voicemails by the end of the day because she used automatic voicemail all day long.
Yikes.
While she was making frickin' paper doves and yogurt lid medals and shit. Like, come on. You're the receptionist. You're the heart of the office, okay? You can't be... No.
Would you be stressed out having 59 voicemails at the end of the day?
When I heard that she said that, it, like, felt so real to me. And then I got, like, heart palpitations. I was like, oh, God.
59. That's, like, 59 unread emails, except worse, because you have to listen to someone's voice.
Yes, and probably call them back.
And speak to them on the phone.
Ooh. Yeah, I know. I know. And the other thing that makes me annoyed about this is that she... immediately and willingly ignores this responsibility to help Jim with something. Mm. It's just par for the course. But another little part of this with the games, where did the yogurt lids come from? Was she saving all of these lids from her mixed berry freaking...
I don't know. Does she have, like, a desk drawer dedicated to yogurt lids?
I don't know.
Does she, like, lick them?
Ew.
You're right. Like, there's a ton of yogurt lids. A ton. Or does she waste all her yogurts for the week?
That's what I'm wondering, too. I'm like, did she buy a case of yogurt and just peel all the lids off of them for this?
And are they all mixed berries?
I don't know, because all the lid colors are different. So I don't know if that means in relation to flavor.
Oh, you that's know? A great question.
I need answers to this.
That's a great question. Because
she spent way too much time doing whatever the hell she did with all the yogurt.
She spent all day. And she also made a big banner.
She made a banner. She made the doves. She put together little paper clips for the chains, for the medals. And with the doves, there's like a little conveyor belt system. I'm like...
That would have taken so long.
With office supplies, too. I'm just like... What is going on here? I mean, I guess we see some of Pam's artistic ability in this, you know,
she's
foreshadowing.
She's definitely creative and handy.
Yeah, but still, 59 voicemails? Really?
Still seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. Okay, what is your co-walk for this one?
There are lots of things in this episode that make sense in terms of characters, right? Mm-hmm. So, Kevin's expenses... Obviously, right. He tries to expense things that aren't business related at all. He runs a movie. Mermaids, in
fact.
Yes. Right. All these things that add up to what we know about the character. But my co-walk is that Stanley Hudson is a top tier employee of Dunder Mifflin. Okay. And here's why.
Let's hear it.
So when Jim asks him if he has any games to play, he says no. He says, I work hard and send my kid to college. That's my game. Mm. He does not goof around, right? It makes him less than fun as a coworker. I understand that. However, he is, like, focused on his job. He is raking in the bucks. The only time we see him participate in this nonsense is when he's watching Kevin shove M&Ms in his mouth, which takes about 0.2 seconds.
Literally 0.2 seconds.
And no one else even tries. So he's also maybe at the elevators or something. So he does start to kind of join in and walk around and watch. Mm-hmm. But I think Stanley gets like the top tier employee. He is just like grinding. He doesn't participate in all this like gossip and nonsense that's happening in the office.
And wasted time.
So I know he's kind of seen as a grump and maybe like he doesn't care about the job, which might be true. But my co-walk for this episode is Stanley Hudson is getting the work done and he is one of the only ones.
Yes. Yes. And also I would say like...
mic drop.
I would say a good quality of Stanley is like at the end of the day, he really is a team player. You know, like he might not want to do it at first, but eventually he joins the group and is like, fine, whatever. And I think he secretly enjoys it.
He definitely has like character that isn't always appreciated, I think.
Agreed.
Like Kevin needs to not have a job. Like that's fair, fine. Like
he needs to be fired.
He literally doesn't, he can't do his job. He like can't count to five and also messes up expense reports and like everything the accountants do. Okay. But Stanley seems to have pretty consistently high sales numbers. He's kind of a grump, but with his clients, he makes them happy. Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't participate in all the goofiness going on.
Right. And he's been there for
a long time.
Quite some time, yeah.
So, my co-walk is for Stanley Hudson.
I love that. Stanley the Manly. That's a great one. Okay. Now, I think we can award our Dundies for this episode and sign off. So, do you want to share your Dundee for this one?
This was a really tough one for me. And I'll tell you, it's because of my love for Moe's Shroot and Shroot Farms. Okay. I wanted to give it, like, the first Shroot Farms mention, the first picture of Dwight and Moe's.
Okay.
However, I kept coming back to when Michael sees his condo and he starts to freak out about signing the papers.
Right.
So, this episode gets the, is this supposed to come off, Dundee? Which is named for when Michael picks up the, like, grate that's over off the stove.
And the gas stove.
He's like, is this supposed to come off? And Carol's like, yeah, actually. It just represents the absolute insane panic he's having over this decision where he's actually been thinking about it for quite some time.
I love that. Is this supposed to come off?
Is this supposed to come off?
That's he's a like, great Dundee.
The ceilings are lower than they were last week.
Where are all the hot people?
He's just like pulling things out of his butt. Like,
literally. Yeah. Okay, I love that. Is that supposed to come off, Dundee?
So what's your Dundee?
So mine is going to be most time wasted.
Yeah.
This goes to everyone in the office that participated in the Office Olympics, including the random gray-haired lady that we see darting off into the corner.
She did make an appearance.
Yeah. So every single one of them gets this Dundee, most time wasted. I think specifically Pam gets to hold on to this one because of the 59 voicemails. Jim, at least, he said he did finish his expense report and he did close two sales at lunch. So he did some productive things. Pam, on the other hand, was playing craft design all day.
Yeah. That, I keep coming back to how stressed I would be the next day.
For sure. Unless it was a Friday. But then Monday would be really bad.
Yeah. I guess also, I wonder if those voicemails are like, maybe they're just things she has to pass along to Michael.
True.
Like, maybe it's just notes.
Maybe it's Packer.
Maybe it's Packer. Yes.
Your queen.
And I'm your big queen. I'm wondering if Jim, like, because him as a salesman, it's almost easier, like cold calling, like taking 5 minutes. But Pam has to deal with, like, people who are already clients.
Right. Taking notes.
Right. So maybe it is stuff that she could do without much brain power. I don't know.
True.
Just be
59.
I'm just being in defense of Pam a little. Okay.
Okay. But it gets a Dundee though, because I at work am like such like inefficient, like I have to like check stuff off lists like all day. I'm like managing time, and if I feel like I'm wasting time, I start to get like, I don't know, just disheveled. So like, I'm giving props to them for being able to let loose a little bit at work and have some fun, because as a type A person, that's very hard for me. So
especially in an environment where you're like
dealing with clients and like deadlines and things like that too.
But Michael left the office, so it was just a free for all.
Yeah.
Jim just lit up the place with Flonkerton and
And too, like, Jim makes it seem like, which I guess we kind of already know this, but he makes it seem like anytime Michael is gone, he's just throwing all of his responsibilities out the window, because when he's asking people about what games they play, he's like, what do you guys play when Michael's gone? Like it's like a normal thing for them to do, you know?
Well, I guess he does kind of turn into the mayor.
Yeah.
But I wonder if just because he discovered that other people are also as bored as he is.
Yeah.
So maybe he gets excited about like the camaraderie in the office.
Yeah. The commiseration.
Yeah. For sure. That's a good one, though. I mean, there's a ton of time wasted. It's a whole day. Just
A whole day. And Michael doesn't even realize what they've done.
But he has a condo, so.
And he has a yogurt lid medal.
I mean, what's not to love? A really productive day at work.
Honestly. Well, I think that wraps up everything for this one. This was a great episode. If anyone is interested in guest starring for season 2 and beyond, let us know. You can reach out via email or Instagram at whatshesaidpod.dm. and we'd love to hear from you. Give us your feedback. We'd love to also like spotlight any reviews anyone wants to share on air. So send those our way as well. Follow us on Instagram, all the good stuff. And I think we'll catch you next time.
This is also the episode that we base our season recaps around.
Yes, closing ceremonies.
Closing ceremonies.
Yes, reference that's a great point.
The Office Olympics.
Yes. So tune in for closing ceremonies at the end of every season.
Yeah. Do it.
That's what she said.